Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief on his way to the Houston Stadium. Formerly known as NRG or Reliant. I'm not sure which one it is now. But Glenn Davis on his way.
Currently known as Houston Stadium.
Houston Stadium. That's all it is. That's all we can. That's all we can call it.
Currently, and the Portuguese are supposed to be doing a walk from. Yeah. They're supposed to be doing a walk from Rice. Happening about 9 o'clock. I need to tell my son in case he wants to all of a sudden become a fan of Portugal instead of the newest Netherlands fan. And then I'm really excited. I'm headed to that match as well and want to see Portugal. One thing we've seen about these teams who did not look very good in the first matchup, Glenn, is at least some of the favorites, and we definitely saw this with Spain, is they've really come out with a vengeance. We know Netherlands had gave up a late goal in a 2-2 draw in match number one, and they came out on fire in match number two. Do you expect the same thing from Portugal? Do you expect to see a much more focused, aggressive attack from Portugal today?
Oh, Portugal's going to come out like animals today. They're going to put the high press on Uzbekistan. Ronaldo will start. I mean, come on. You know he's going to start. I think the biggest issue for Portugal, along with being alive and coming out very, very strong, and by the way, Uzbekistan knows that. I listened to the press conference with Fabio Cannavaro. He knows they're coming out like that to try and kind of reboot their whole tournament. But the biggest thing is the whole situation with Ronaldo and chance creation. As we said on the show before, it's great to have all this possession and pile up all these numbers. But if you're not creating chances and you're not getting any penetration out wide, it's a problem. And maybe Rafael Leão might start out wide for them. He's a penetrator, but they have to get behind people out wide in order to pull defenders off Ronaldo. If they penetrate out wide, one of those center backs has to leave Ronaldo, creates more space, and then they got to get some delivery in. So they got to kind of mix it up, but they do have to get a better wide game here today.
Glenn Davis brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief right here on ESPN 97.5. How excited are you? I mean, to see yet another Portugal's going to walk in. It was just beautiful to see how Orange walked into the stadium. Now it's going to be the same, a lot of the same with Portugal. Getting ready for this today. Got to be really excited to see this matchup.
Yeah, no question. I mean, did we ever believe we were going to get two games with Portugal, the Netherlands, Germany? This is just another one. Every single match seems to have a storyline. Outside of the teams that have advanced, all of these games are mightily important. Portugal has to win today. Uzbekistan against Colombia was determined and hung in there for a while. That's going to be tactically what they're going to try to do is remain in the game. They'll be in a 5-4-1 low block, survive the early moments of this, and then try to hit Portugal on the counterattack, draw some free kicks. I mean, it's pretty obvious kind of how this one will play out, but I think really the onus is on Portugal to make it happen. I don't know if it's Portugal or it's Cristiano Ronaldo FC. I'm not sure yet, but we're going to find out when we get to the stadium because every single person's got a Ronaldo jersey on.
Well, they should. He's been one of the great, great, great players. Maybe not in World Cup, but in the game. So obviously, he's the superstar. Do you suspect he plays now? If they build a big lead, do they pull him? Or if it's close and they pull him, that is pretty telling, right?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting debate. Lots of people are weighing in on it. He is 41 years old. We do know athletes have a shelf life. Some of the physical characteristics he's lost. His fan base is incredibly loyal to him. And when things don't go right, it's generally the rest of the team that gets thrown under the bus. So there's been a lot of criticism of Bruno Fernandes, Vitinha, to an extent, Joao Neves, because, hey, they didn't live up to it. They didn't provide the service to Ronaldo. They're not getting it done. And so there's pressure on those guys as well. But if they get an early goal, you know, score a few goals here today against Uzbekistan, the mood will change dramatically.
Glenn Davis with us, brought to you by KaplanSinusRelief.com. Check that out. So we're seeing an unbelievable performance. Messi with two more goals yesterday. He's got five for the cup. You have Haaland with a couple more. He's got four. Mbappe's got four. He had a couple more. And then you've got Harry Kane going today as well. When do you – now, you've paid close attention to years and years of World Cups. Have you ever seen – it's early, but have you ever seen performances like this from premier strikers already this early in a World Cup?
Well, it's super exciting. Strikers want to score goals. They want to go down in history. I think the Golden Boot winner in this tournament is going to have 10 – 9, 10, maybe 11. I think also you have to put this in context based on the expansion of the tournament. I think you do have to put that in context a little bit. That's not going to change who wins the Golden Boot, but you do get a few more chances maybe against different competition. But I think for all of us and fans to be able to see in their swan song Messi, Ronaldo, to see the emerging superstar, or if, well, he is already, in Mbappe. Erling Haaland gets to a World Cup with Norway, which is incredible. I mean, there's been great players in the game who've never gotten to the Holy Grail of the World Cup. So to see Norway in there and be a team that's really difficult to play against, which Senegal found out. So I think it's wonderful, and the other thing you got to remember is people follow these players all during the year, whatever league they're playing in, the Premier League, you know, La Liga, Bundesliga, whatever. They're following them, so they're getting to see them in a different format and with differing teammates.
Glenn Davis, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. England and Ghana, both with a win. Pretty big game. You give Ghana any shot today?
I do give Ghana a shot. They're athletic. They have World Cup history. They are a team that can be very problematic, like a lot of the African teams have. What I like about England and Thomas Tuchel's squad is that this is much like the U.S. in the first game. This is a very differing England. It looked like very differing England because the emphasis is more on attack, and that even went into his substitution pattern. You know, he brought on three attackers to manage out the game. It was, you know, we're going to continue to attack to win this game. We're not going to get pragmatic. We're not going to drop off. So I think this is a very exciting England team. And based on the way they're playing and a newfound desire to go after opponents and not be as conservative like they were under Gareth Southgate, makes them dangerous.
Yeah, it's a way different, at least early on it's been, and I'm sure in the lead up, it's way different seeing the U.S. It's kind of strange to see the U.S. and England both playing what amounts to a much more aggressive forward. I love seeing the U.S. Press up front. I love seeing, you know, England become a bigger chance taker, especially with the amount of goal scorers they have on that team. What do you think of England's speed, generally speaking, when it comes to matching up against some of the faster teams in the World Cup?
Well, they've got athleticism. That can sometimes be a little bit overblown, but okay. They've got athleticism. Look at the athletes that came off the bench. I mean, Saka, Marcus Rashford, these guys can run. They're explosive. I mean, that's why that was impressive to me, that mode of thinking, because you're a defender and you're in the 70th minute. Your legs are heavy. Sometimes your mind is starting to weigh on you. Maybe you've defended a lot. And then, you know, you're bringing on guys like that are hungry, that are explosive. And if you get isolated with them, it's the biggest nightmare you could ever have as a defender.
Glenn Davis brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief here on ESPN 97.5 every day, 8 o'clock. Make sure that you don't miss it. Balogun says he wants to play. What do you think?
Who said that?
He said he wants to play in this game.
Balogun.
Oh, Balogun. Balogun. Yeah, yeah, for the U.S. Yeah, it's not what I think. It's what Mauricio Pochettino thinks, but I love that attitude. I love Fowler and Balogun's attitude talking about his desire to play for the United States. I hope he keeps scoring goals. He's brought us a guy that can run the channels. He's brought us a vertical threat. You know, question mark. And I know I talked with you guys about this prior, that, you know, big question mark. Striker position, goalkeeper position, and we were talking a little bit about the center back. So we feel like we have our striker now, and we've got a good understudy with Ricardo Pepi, and Mauricio Pochettino can do with those two what he likes. You know, it's similar with the Netherlands. They came in trying to figure out who their striker is. Well, they know who it is right now. It's Brian Probi, who scored the two goals in the first 17 minutes against Sweden. So sometimes the questions are answered during the World Cup, and the managers have to really, really be quick thinkers on the fly in this, based on the athlete, based on the mental side, the physical side, and the confidence side.
If you're Pochettino, do you even risk it? Any of the guys with yellow cards?
Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know. I wouldn't risk it personally, because if you think of Richards, Adams, and Balogun, that's the spine of your team. You know, I don't see a replacement. There's no like-for-like for Tyler Adams. There's no like-for-like for Chris Richards, and there's no like-for-like for Fowler and Balogun. And to go out in a game and have to play the game with the, in the back of your mind that you got a yellow card and you could potentially miss the next game is sort of a mental mind challenge, I would think. So I don't know what he's going to do. Me personally, I would be resting these guys, but I also understand the side of keeping momentum going.
Well, and also, like, seriously, if Pochettino did that and lost one of those players, you mentioned there's no like for like. I mean, he opens them up for tremendous, tremendous deserved criticism for lessening the chances of his team moving on in the next round. It makes no sense.
Well, let's not forget through the silver lining of this. Others will get opportunity to play. Others will feel good about being in a World Cup now in a differing way, not just as a supporting cast. They'll get minutes, and that could be very beneficial down the road, right?
Absolutely. Young guys, absolutely. What about Pulisic? You want to get him some minutes, but you also, even if he's better, you know, give him another week or so, or whatever it takes to, you know, to get to the qualifying round absolutely healthy.
Yeah, the only way he plays is if they feel he's 100%, in my opinion, in my judgment. So if he plays, then we'll feel like he's on. He's pretty much fully recovered. If he doesn't play, I think then we begin to speculate that it was probably a little bit more serious of an injury than we thought. That's that durability piece to Christian Pulisic that I think is one of the big question marks around him throughout his career. So, you know, we'll see. But if he needs to rest for the, you know, when we get into the knockout rounds, that's okay.
Yep. That's Glenn Davis. He's got the call today. Portugal and Uzbekistan at Houston's Stadium. And going to be really cool to see the walk from all the Portuguese. I'm not sure it's going to be 20,000 like the Netherlands was, but it's going to be pretty damn big. So that's going to be cool. Most, I would imagine, it's going to be mostly Portugal kits in the stadium, right? Jerseys in the stadium.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. Unless we got a Uzbeki population that we're not aware of.
Yeah,
that's one thing about going to the Gold Cup, Glenn. In CONCACAF over the years, you realize how many Colombians are here, Argentinians are here. There are some Brazilians. There are some different South American, Latin American teams in.
So So, guys, let me just break in. I'm driving by the Intercontinental Hotel in the medical center. There's cop cars everywhere. There's police cars. The Portugal bus is there. So that's where Ronaldo and company are. They're literally a mile away from the stadium. That's where they came in last night. So that's pretty cool. The big bus says Portugal on the side. They're just fans hanging out everywhere to see the players walk out eventually.
They'll walk out, and then the walk that they'll do at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock this morning, they'll be walking from, I guess, from Rice to the stadium. So that's cool. That is really, really cool. Great stuff, Glenn. As always, man, have a fun time in your game today. Great that you get to be a part of it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Congratulations, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Guys, your roving reporter, cruising the streets of Houston for soccer information for John and Lance.
There's Glenn Davis, foremost authority in Houston and maybe in the country on soccer, right here on ESPN 97.5 every morning, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Good stuff. Good stuff. We got a break. Time to talk about my man Kent Jones. Time to talk about you buying a home. Are you thinking about it? Even if you're just thinking about it, you can call Glenn, okay, 713-520-5626. You give him your phone number, and you tell him, hey, when you think it'd be a good time to lock in, he'll call you. What do you think when you if you're thinking about buying a home? Okay, what about $150,000 home? What do I need down? Okay, what kind of loan can I possibly get? I mean, you can get information from Kent Jones. He will tell you. He will help you along the way. But the thing about it is how much money he can save you. Yeah, okay, picking the right loan. Not only picking the right loan, but all of the different entities that you need to buy that home. Kent Jones is here for. He is incredible, incredible. He knows everything about it. 30 years in the business. There's nothing he hasn't seen, and he is going to get you to the right loan and to all of the different everything that you need. Kent Jones will be here for you. You are looking for a great way to buy a home. I don't care if this is your fifth or sixth home that you bought, okay? Kent Jones will do it better than you do. He just does. He just knows the whole game. He knows all the hacks to get you the best loan you could possibly have and the best close you could possibly have with everything else that goes on. So you're looking for the best way to get that home, 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN or 975loans.com.
Come.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Good stuff. Talking some soccer with Glenn Davis, just the best in the business with us here on ESPN 97.5. So we were talking, we talked some Rockets, we talked Astros, for those of you just joining us. The big story last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo. He goes to Miami. Dell is a Miami fan. He's happy about that. He's happy to get him, pair him with Bam, and we'll see what happens.
So how big is this trade? Like, historically, where is it? Brett Ho is making a good point. This may not even be the biggest legend in Milwaukee history to be traded, with Lou Alcindor being traded. But regardless, I mean, 34
it's
years.
Hard to beat Lou Alcindor, one of the top greatest players of all
time.
Yeah,
but when Lou was traded, he was young. He hadn't won a title up to that point. It was.
Yes, he had. He won he won in Milwaukee in his second year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He won in, what, 71?
72 or 73, whatever.
Won 72, the Laker year? Yeah, 72.
He won his second year. Oscar Robertson got his one with Lou Alcindor.
So
in Alcindor's second year.
Two huge players who were traded from Milwaukee. And, you know, that's the Giannis thing. The teams considered really became just the Heat and the Celtics. Now the Celtics have Jaylen Brown still. I wonder if the Celtics will look to start banging the drum a little bit to see what – I think the Rockets will be interested. I really do believe they are interested in listening to trades. I mean, I completely believe that's true. I just don't think it's going to be to the level of definitely Giannis. That's over now. And I don't think Jaylen Brown either, because we've talked about how much you have to subtract to make it happen. Now, Jabari Smith for somebody? Maybe so. I think it would be really tough to get Alperen, to move Alperen, because you got to find a player who can play that position. You're really lost. If you unplug Alperen and then you hope you're going to do it with a super injury-prone Steven Adams, that's not going to do it. You know, that's not going to do it. So my guess is one of these ancillary pieces, a sign-and-trade with Tari, a deal for Jabari Smith, maybe something like that is what you're talking about. One shocker would be as if you included Kevin Durant in a deal. If Durant was okay with it and wanted to go, that would be really intriguing, because you'd have to think whatever you got back is going to be pretty strong in return.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to do anything. I'm not sure that it's a time. Now you got the NBA draft tonight, so that'll be interesting. That's why they wanted to get the Giannis thing done yesterday before the draft, to get in case they were going to move picks or whatever, and to get those picks today. It'll be an interesting draft. I saw Cameron Boozer should be the number one guy.
There's some talk like that. There's a little talk about how 1, 2, and 3 is going to go. There's more and more people where it's picking up where it's DeBanza, Boozer, and Peterson 3. Now the odds have Peterson 2, Boozer 3, but there are more and more mock drafts I'm seeing where it ends up being teams just don't want to take. You know, if you have a hard time, the argument Bobby Marks made the other day, if you have a hard time staying healthy for 30 games, how are you going to stay healthy for 82?
Yeah, I might even take Caleb Wilson ahead of Darren Peterson.
Okay.
I know he's a talent. I know he's a huge talent, but I don't know that you can count on Darren Peterson. I don't know that I want, you know, he doesn't seem like he loves it and is going to put everything into it. I just don't know that I want that out of a top five pick. It'll be interesting to see. Keaton Wagler has moved up, way up the charts. Darius Acuff, it looks like those guys are both going to be ahead of Kingston Flemings. I'm seeing a lot of eight or nine for Kingston Flemings. It'll be interesting tonight to see how this all plays out. DeBanza's going to be one, right?
Yeah, he's going to be one.
He's going to be one. He's going to be one.
Why would you not take Boozer 2 over Peterson 2? Like, yeah. Peterson is supposed to be the ultimate shot maker, can create shots wherever he wants. But Boozer comes from he's got NBA bloodlines. He is a consistent, I think his ceiling may be a little bit more capped. He's going to be, just like his dad, he's going to be, you know, a really good player. He's going to be better than his dad, but he's going to be a really good player. And I think he's, you know, his background is such that you can expect professionalism from him. I really worry about Peterson. I mean, you're going to throw him a bunch of money and think that you're going to get better results than you got in college? He scares me. I really feel like this is going to be a situation where he gets paid and then he just does whatever he wants to do. I just don't see him being somebody that you can count on for 68 to 72 games a year. I don't see it. We'll see. But he would have me very worried about that.
Yep. If he ain't playing for Kansas, I don't know why he's also all of a sudden going to change those stripes. I don't know. And then he wouldn't work out. And then if he goes second, he doesn't even want to go to Utah. So, I mean, he was a guy who didn't want to play at Kansas, doesn't want to go to Utah. How's that going to work out?
Right.
I don't know. That seems like a disaster. Utah's in a bad place.
He's going to want things the way, exactly the way he wants things. And it's that's a problem.
It was much the same for them last year, though, too, right? Utah.
Well, it's going to always be that way.
Screw it. We're taking
this. This is your one chance to. You can look at Boozer.
Yeah. I think.
Boozer will go there.
Yeah.
I would assume.
I would think.
No one knows Utah better than a Boozer, though.
I mean, perfect name for it. Perfect name.
Well, ironic name.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Yeah. So and then where? I mean, I'm trying to find where Chris Cenac goes.
Oh, he's in the 20s. Everywhere you look, he's in
everywhere.
The
20s. Yeah. I just think he'd have been so much better off just coming back, getting better.
Yep.
And you know, but well, and because you make money, you at 23. I don't know what the pay is, but I know he would have made money here, or if he goes somewhere else, he would have made money. So he could have put himself on the open market, made some nice money in college, but he decided he's ready to go, and I'm just not sure that that's the case.
Such a mistake. I don't see any positive comments. Every time you read up his draft stuff, everyone has such backhanded compliments, like could have used another year. There's a chance he could still get stronger and better, but it's, you know, he's not someone who's going to help you right away. Like everything that's written about him just makes it look like this is take the money now and see what happens, as opposed to take some maybe shorter money in college basketball now and get better as a player and then raise your draft stock. It just seems like a really poor choice.
Where do you have him mocked, John?
23.
So the 23rd pick last year was Asa Newell of the Hawks. He was guaranteed just over $6.6 million at signing. If he plays to the completion of his contract, he would get $16.2 million from the Hawks if they keep picking up his club options year three and year four. So the cap goes up. So Cenac, if he's picked there, would be guaranteed about $6.5 to $6.8 million.
It's a John Singleton move because, honestly, he goes back to college. Even if he leaves Houston, he gets $1.5 to $3 million somewhere, I would assume, if you went to another school.
I think
you
get more than that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what basketball. I know what football going rate is, and that's. I don't think he gets more than a football player, but I could be wrong. I don't think he's getting more than a quarterback. What, do you?
What did the Texas Tech? He got $5 million. I mean, yeah, that money's out there for those.
It is. Well, he's getting more than $2 million. I can say that. And then if he takes his draft, so Dell, where's the 14th player in the draft? What money do
I
they
don't?
Get?
I have to find who was picked 14th, then find their deal.
Okay,
I don't know who that was last year.
Because do the math on that, and that's really what I think he would have been looking at, something like that. And who knows? Like, had he become a better rebounder or a more aggressive player, the 3-point shot continues to improve, which it did this year. You know, going in the lottery would definitely have been, especially if he added another 15 pounds of muscle. Going in the lottery becomes a much greater chance he does that. The money is substantially
better. You know, if he's picked as low as what he's projected, who's the team, John,
Hawks,
at 23rd?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. So that's a better basketball team. But, you know, we think about it in football. You get picked lower, you go to a better team. As far as development is concerned, if he goes to a good organization, that might help his status, his potential future more than anything. Because sometimes bad teams are just bad teams, and they crush rookies because they never know how to develop.
But they also play sometimes.
Well,
if you start to look, well, the Kings have been bad for years, no matter who goes there. So is all the players' fault, or is it just the Kings? So we take that into account. Look, the kid may just not care for school. So I know we do the thing where we go, hey, he could have stayed. If he doesn't want to go to school, then that's always going to play a factor in these decisions. Yeah. And if he looks at $6 million guaranteed, he's like, I'll take that. I believe in myself, and I hate school. I don't know what his thing is, but.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know.
Well, Kingston Flemings is slotted with the Hawks at 8. Chris Cenac is slotted with the Hawks at 23.
I've seen 7 to 10.
That'd be interesting to see if they both. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a couple of Kelvin Sampson players, but can they shoot?
I've seen 21 to 25 for Cenac, and I've seen 7 to 10 for Kingston Flemings is the range that I've seen for Flemings. Yeah. 10 is the lowest that I've seen them.
I'm seeing, well, ESPN has Emmanuel Sharpe at 37 to Oklahoma City.
Ooh, I'd be shocked if he goes that high.
And then Milos Uzan to Washington at 51.
I would think Uzan might go ahead of Sharp.
You know, Sharp
feels like a better athlete.
Yep, better athlete and better.
Can get a shot off easier.
It almost feels like he's a better shooter. It just is. Now, both, but I think Sharp better defender, but Sharp is not as good an athlete, and Sharp is for an outside shooter. He doesn't shoot very well. So that'll be interesting to see where you got four guys, maybe four Cougs will be drafted tonight.
Yeah, 3-point percentage, 37% this year.
Well, let's remind people the draft is 2 days, so the Cougs you're mentioning
tomorrow.
Will those guys get drafted tomorrow? The draft has expanded to 2 days now.
Well, because everybody's like draft NFL. Is expanded to two. I mean, 3 days. Pretty soon, they'll be taking two guys on Thursday, and then four guys on Friday.
It's the NBA trying to have as many days with the focus on them as possible. They're just doing what the NFL does. Lance's greedy ass league.
Yeah, just let's drag this out as much as possible. The Rockets have a couple of picks, 39. And 53.
No, you wouldn't think it, but Sharp was still a nearly over 37% shooter from three.
He's just a really streaky.
Yeah, so a team who was desperate for shooting, namely a team who just traded away all their players, he might be a target for the Heat. They're going to be looking for shooting somehow, some way. So I don't know how he did in workouts. So if he showed that he can be more consistent, they're going to be that's a team desperate for shooting because of all the guys they traded away. So.
Well, here's what I'm reading right now. Areas of improvement. He came in at 6'2 3/4, 6'3" with a 6'3" wingspan. For a shooting guard, really small. He's not athletic by NBA standards. Doesn't have much vertical pop and lacks elite quickness. Has good footwork, but doesn't have a lethal first step. He's short, but not explosive. That's just really tough for Sharp. They do mention that he's going to come in and be a good – that he shot 39% on his 5 catch-and-shoot threes per game. They mentioned that he'll be a good – you know, he's disruptive with his hands. He does a good job of staying attached to his man off the ball. They mentioned that he'll make a mark early in his career on defense, that he has a stout frame. But, yeah, I think Emmanuel Sharp, to me, is just a really good has been a really good, fun college player who's hard-nosed and gets after it. I don't see him being much of a factor in the I don't see him being much of a factor in the NBA. I don't. No, he's in the second round. Uzan he's a little bit different because he is a little more athletic, but we'll see. But they're undersized, you know, both of them are going to be undersized for what they are. I mean, you're a 6'3 shooting guard who's not explosive and you don't shoot at an elite level, it's just tough to make it long term.
Yeah. 37% is okay, but that's also the college 3-point line.
Yeah, it's a much shorter 3-point line.
All right, we got a break. We're way behind. We got to talk a little golf. Have you played Houston National? Got to play it. All right. We went over to Sterling Country Club, and we played Sterling Country Club, but you can also play, okay, Houston National is right next to it. And so if you're looking for a great place to go and play and get your golf on, it is awesome, okay? It is really good, different. Von Hagee did it. It's a different kind of golf course, and it is, you know, it is links style. So you got that just up the road at College Station. You got a golf club at Texas A&M. And in Louisiana, this is something that is really, really cool. We do some golf trips, and I love them. It's so much fun to get 8 guys together, and you go and you play Cypress Bend Golf Club, Manny, Louisiana. You don't have to. It's just 3 hours, 3.5 hours from Houston, okay? It's on Toledo Bend. They've got stay and play packages available. There's fishing there as well. You guys want to take a day off? You want to play three days, or you want to go and you want to break it up with some fishing in between? You got that as well. It is a great way. It's affordable, much more affordable than a lot of these resort courses. You got 3 incredible courses: Club at Texas A&M, Houston National, and Cypress Bend Golf Club. Visit sterlinggolf.com. That's Sterling with 1G, sterlinggolf.com. Book your next round today at sterlinggolf.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
When did Country Road become the American anthem? They played it after the game, after the win.
Yeah.
The Scottish in Boston, there's a video of playing, and they're all singing it. Country Roads. West Virginia. I guess there's no, is there a more American song? I guess that in Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, there are some.
Well,
there was a selection process, and I think it came down to about three songs.
There was a selection process?
I believe every team or country has to pick a song that they want to be heard played after they win,
serious?
Or something. I'm telling you what happened.
And it's not even something from their home, you know, something.
Well, I don't know what the Scots actually play after they beat whoever they beat, Haiti, in their first match. I just know what the Scots have adopted. And that's like Sweet Home, Sweet Caroline gets played in Europe, and Country Roads gets played over there too. But they talked about it, or it was tweeted about this, a woman who's part of U.S. soccer had to narrow it down, and she picked the John Denver song because no other country had picked it as their song. But do something that's American that people will sing along to, and this is the one they chose. So I think after victories, there's a song that gets played, and this is what U.S. soccer chose, and that's why we're playing it.
Well, I mean, and everybody knows it.
Yeah,
it's a
song you want the crowd to sing along to, and this is the game they sang along to it
before the game. They played Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah,
did they really?
Yeah,
I don't know if that was just the
why don't they just play Proud
selection?
To Be an American by Lee Greenwood while we're
well out. I don't know that people were looking for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no one has picked up All Systems Go.
Well, it's not a
which is kind of weird.
It's not distinctly an American song. That's a Houston song.
Well, so is West Virginia is a West Virginia song. So Country Roads,
West Virginia Mountain Mama. There's nothing that could be like. It was baffling me why I kept hearing it, and all these people know all the words to it. They all know the words.
That's why
the
it Scottish, got chosen.
Yeah, Scottish know all the words to Country Roads.
Not just
that's
them.
Weird.
It was no. It's not just them. It's lots of countries know this.
Yeah, yeah it
they're
is,
all they're playing all.
It
of
is them. A song that gets played in Europe after get matches or before or whatever,
yeah.
But. I don't know why it made it over there.
Sweet Caroline also played a lot.
Yes. So that's why this woman had to make a choice. She chose that one because Sweet Caroline was another one in the running, and it had already been chosen by another country.
What about WAP?
Nope.
By Nicki Minaj.
Nope.
We're not going to do that.
Nope.
I want to.
What about WAP?
Nope.
That dangly stuff in the back of my throat. What about that?
No, because you can't even sing the words right now. That's why.
I can't. That's true.
So you've answered your own question. Why not WAP?
Some other songs I'd like to hear. Shoot.
No Vaseline?
No, that's tacky.
Oh, okay. WAP is fine, but
Yeah.
What about whatever? I don't know the songs. The stupid Taylor Swift
song.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean stupid
what?
Taylor Swift
yeah,
song.
What's wrong with you? She's America's sweetheart.
Yeah, I don't need any heat. But what about doing some Shake the Haters Off or whatever that song is? What about that? After Portugal could play that for John's favorite Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo. They could play that afterwards.
Well, he better score a goal. He won't be shaking the haters off.
I know. If he doesn't score a goal, he's going to go down as like the ninth best player of all time in soccer.
Stop.
Well, maybe.
I mean,
when it's all said and done, Haaland's coming for him.
Mbappe's
coming for
him.
He's
got a lot to do in Europe to catch up to him. So slow down.
I don't know that Ronaldo. I don't even know that Ronaldo's not even considered the best Ronaldo.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Brazilian Ronaldo.
Brazilian Ronaldo is more of more acclaim than Portuguese Ronaldo.
Can you stop already?
No, you can stop.
You can stop.
You can stop. It's true.
Stop
being stupid.
Brazilian Ronaldo.
Even John Tyler's off of Ronaldo.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Your son's even wearing Messi.
Look, I don't know what you think, but I was watching the game. It wasn't even a Portugal game, and the U.S. announcer was like, the real Ronaldo, the Brazilian one, in the middle of the game. That is the thought, that there is one Ronaldo, and then there's Cristiano.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. You got the bad one. It's not your fault.
You don't even root for the real one.
Stupid.
They're all stupid.
We make mistakes. I cheer for Everton. It happens. You jumped on the Ronaldo train when you thought it was good, then he turned into Phil Mickelson against Tiger.
I mean, the Brazilian Ronaldo has a nickname, El Phenomeno.
Yeah.
He's the phenomenon.
He's also El Chunky now.
Well, he's lost some weight since.
Has he?
Yes.
Maradona.
He's not in soccer shape, but yeah, he's not at his heaviest. He has a cool nickname. He's Brazilian. Sorry, John. You root for the fake Ronaldo.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's fine. He's a great player. Yeah, but he's not even the best.
Super selfish.
This is the dumbest conversation.
But he's not even the best selfish. Ronaldo.
This is the dumbest conversation.
He's not even the best. Like, Ronaldinho's even better than him.
Well, it's more insulting to say he's not even the best Ronaldo. Ronaldinho's a great player, too.
I know.
But I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo's consensus.
He's in the top five Ronaldos of all time, probably.
Yeah. Are we done with this?
He's in the top five Ronaldos.
We're actually having an honest conversation you don't want to have.
I don't even think
this is what LeBron fans deal with on a regular basis.
I don't even think Cristiano Ronaldo's considered a top 10 player of all time. If you just go by.
He's probably in the top 9.
There might be several Brazilians ahead of him.
Oh, my God.
There's definitely several Brazilians ahead of him.
Pelé.
I don't know about Kaká. Pelé. Real Ronaldo. You can keep going.
Yeah.
Mbappe.
I'm done. Okay, is that the show?
Mbappe.
Thanks, everybody. News of the weird.
Sorry.
Mbappe will be ahead.
Sorry you don't like the truth. I mean, it's just a consensus.
There's
stupidity,
nothing he can say.
Stupidity of the weird.
There's nothing he can say.
Yeah.
He knows he's lost this battle.
No. Yeah, I've lost that battle.
You want to see? Now they're highlighting videos of the ball moving around midfield. And Messi's just kind of watching it. He's not really running around because it's just going back and forth. And then the ball comes to him, and he runs down and scores immediately yesterday. And they're like, if this were – oh, my God, look at this. Messi's not even doing anything. He's just sitting there lazy. I'm like, you're focusing on a goal he scored again, and you think you're doing something, Ronaldo fans? It's so sad fans are out here
John's
like this.
John's not going to like this SI article I just pulled up where – right before the World Cup, they ranked the best players of all time. And the Brazilian Ronaldo, third. The Portuguese Ronaldo, not even in the top 15.
Wow, not in the top 15? That seems a little much.
They already
It's just World Cup.
Is it World Cup? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't scored goals in World Cup. That's all.
So, and that affects your status if you don't score in the biggest tournament in the world.
Because
the lights are too bright. The lights are too bright for Ronaldo. We just figured it out.
Yeah.
Now he's had some good-looking women, though.
That's true.
He is the Jeter of, soccer. But no, it's called the Jeter, the greatest baseball player of all time.
Kylian Mbappe was asked who the greatest footballer in history is between Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. I always try to avoid these questions because honestly, we are talking about two players who changed football forever. You two are just stupid. Okay, and even you know they all admit it's too close to call.
No, it's not.
You know what?
It's over now.
Just
for sure.
It's not close anymore. Two of the dumbest.
Sorry,
soccer people
you sound
ever.
Like this is what LeBron fans say about LeBron. And
congratulations,
Jordan.
You are on the LeBron side of a soccer debate. Congratulations to you now.
No, I will admit that Messi is probably better.
And Pelé is better than Cristiano.
That he's not even 15th.
As a World Cup soccer player, definitely.
Well, not as a World Cup player, but
he's
as far
terrible.
As a European soccer
he's
a European
terrible.
Soccer player?
In the biggest tournament on
a
Earth,
European soccer
stinks.
Player,
sorry.
It's arguable that he's
bright.
Been better than Messi.
The lights are too bright for Ronaldo. Sorry, in the biggest tournament in the world, he doesn't perform. Lights are too bright.
Well, no, he just hasn't had as good a team.
Sure.
Portugal's been pretty good.
He's actually been a bigger problem than people want to admit. Get off the field. Play through Bruno Fernandes.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
He's 41 now.
Get off the field.
I mean, he's old.
He's 41 now. So, yeah.
Washed.
And they're still trying to play through. They're still trying
to
play through.
They have to, or he's going to pitch a fit. He's a bad teammate.
I'm telling you now.
Crappy that his teammates have been.
If Ronaldo scores two or more goals, I'm calling in sick tomorrow.
Why?
I'm not listening to John.
I hope he does score. It makes the World Cup more entertaining if he actually plays well.
Four goals.
I hope he plays great because it makes it better for everyone that one of the stars of the World Cup plays well. But that has not been the case recently. I hope he does. I ain't worried about it.
Yeah. You ain't worried about it.
No, I hope. I want it to happen.
Who would Ronaldo be on the Astros right now? Would he be Kaiwei Tang?
That's insulting.
No,
it's a
he'd be Bagwell.
This version of the Astros. Oh.
This year's Astros.
What you talking about?
Christian Walker?
Christian Walker's having a good year.
Stop already.
No, that is too high.
Yeah.
Ha-Wei Tang. Oakert? That's not bad.
As far as his current, his recent World Cups, he's more like Mike Burrows.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, that hurts.
We got a break. Let's talk Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I mean, it's just, this is the stuff. Well, that was the dumbest segment we've ever had.
Don't worry.
Time to talk about Billy Brown, who's not dumb, who has started a great business, who has a philosophy of coming to your home. You know what? Because it is something in the plumbing industry, we're going to charge you to come to your house. We're going to charge you. And Billy Brown said, I ain't doing that. You know what? I'll send my guys there. And if it's too, you know, it's a small job. Oh, well, we'll do the small job too. What is it that you need done? Okay. You need to clean out your tankless water heaters. You know what? You do. You need to do it. Okay, it's not like an urgent thing, but if you have some kind of an emergency, man, you need them right here and right now. You need them to come to the home, to your home, and at the very least, stop the water from spouting all over the place, which is what they did for me, okay? Yeah, all you need Billy Brown, and you need his people to be there for you, and that's what Billy Brown does. Billy's been doing this now for years. He's got a great team. And Lance, we both had to use them. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, plenty of times. But one of the things I was using them for was just to clean out of my tankless water heater. I hadn't done it in years and years. They had to clean it 3 times. Like, that's something you really need to get serviced. Not just tankless, also your regular standard water heater needs to be cleaned as well. They can install the tankless. They can install new water heaters. They can move gas lines, and of course they solve problems big and large. It's our friends who we highly recommend. It is the good people over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com or call 281-488-6238.
ESPN 97.5.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.